Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q1 FY23 earnings conference call of Bina Rubber & Infrastructure Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sonpal from Valorem Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Sonpal.
Thank you, Margaret. Good afternoon, everyone, and warm welcome to you all. My name is Anuj Sonpal from Valorem Advisors. We represent the investor relations of Bina Rubber & Infrastructure Limited. On behalf of the company, I would like to thank you all for participating in the company's earnings call for the first quarter of financial year 2023. Before we begin, let me mention a short cautionary statement. Some of the statements made in today's con call may be forward-looking in nature. Such forward-looking statements are subject to risks and uncertainties which could cause actual results to differ from those anticipated. Such statements are based on management's beliefs as well as assumptions made by and information currently available to management. Audiences are cautioned not to place any undue reliance on these forward-looking statements in making any investment decisions. The purpose of today's earnings call is purely to educate and bring awareness about the company's fundamental business and financial quarter under review. Now let me introduce you to the management participating with us in today's call. We have with us Mr. Gaurav Sikri, Director, Mr. Subodh Kumar Sharma, Director and Chief Operating Officer, and Mr. Anurup Arora, Vice President of Business Development. Without any further delay, I request Mr. Gaurav Sikri to start with his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Anuj. Good afternoon, everyone. It's my pleasure to welcome you to our earnings conference call for the first quarter of financial year 2023. I hope everyone is keeping well and safe and healthy. Let me first start by giving a brief overview of the company. I would imagine we have some first time, you know, people who are joining in for the first time as well, so I'll spend maybe an extra minute giving a little overview of what we do. Subodh, our CEO, will then take over and brief about the financial performance of the quarter. Bina Rubber was formed in 1977, and we are now the largest end-of-tire recyclers in the country and quite surely among the top 10 globally. Our company manufactures high-quality products from recycling end-of-life tires, primarily truck and bus tires, radial tires. The applications are very diverse. The products are used in the road construction and maintenance, new tire manufacturing, conveyor belts, various other applications, including something very small like a squeezer on the top of a liquid medicine bottle. The company is a pioneer in manufacturing crumb rubber modifier, which is mixed with bitumen for construction of roads. We have been in this business since the late 1990s, early 2000s. Also, at Bina, we are making specialized materials from recycled rubber, which have very wide applications. We wish to highlight that Bina is among the few players globally which is making micronized rubber powder as fine as 120-140 mesh. And this is primarily used in manufacturing of high-performance rubber products such as tires as well as conveyor belts, et cetera. We have five manufacturing locations in India. That gives us a pan-India presence and helps us manage our logistics costs extremely well and give a consistent product to our customers because many of them have plants pan-India. You could have a tire maker having a plant in Uttarakhand and also a plant in Madurai. That enables us to work very closely with tire companies, giving them a consistent product pan-India. Our plants are located in Panipat and Himachal in north, in Wardha near Mumbai in west, in Gummidipundi near Chennai in south, and in Haldia on the eastern part of India. In today's call, I also want to spend a few minutes talking about Bina's role in sustainability and in circular economy. Today's manufacturing by and large follows a very linear economy process wherein raw materials are taken from environment and then turned into products, eventually discarded, So this is defined as linear economy. Circular economy is where end-of-life products are then used like we do in case of tires and recover rubber and steel and fiber, and we put these products back in the economy by converting them into recycled materials. Tina's recovery from end-of-life tires is close to 99.5%, and we convert these products into very specialized and high-quality recycled materials. Typically, the pricing of these products is at least one-third or one-fourth even of the virgin material, so there's a strong economic benefit to use them other than the benefit of sustainability. Our materials are supplied to leading multinational tire companies, conveyor belting companies, rubber mat producers, sports surfacing material makers, etc. And we help them reduce their consumption of natural rubber, synthetic rubber, essentially virgin polymers, without compromising in any way to the quality of the product. So Tina is a very prime example of success of circular economy. And now with the Indian government notifying EPR for tires, which is extended producer responsibility framework, we think that this is going to benefit us immensely on both counts. One, it will help us have better access to raw materials. And additionally, it will also be very motivating. I think the policy itself drives higher consumption of such materials amongst tire companies, etc. I also wish to share a very interesting study that was done in Sweden in 2018 on the life assessment comparing roads made with normal bitumen versus modified bitumen. And in that study, it has been concluded that the life cycle assessment concluded that the roads made from modified bitumen could help reduce carbon footprint up to 60%, equivalent to 1 ton kg of CO2 per 240 meter square. The study also concluded that using modified bitumen increases lifespan of the road by up to 100%. This is a extremely beneficial study for us. We are doing our best to also make the policymakers more aware of the benefits, both in terms of environment as well as in terms of just making a better road. And as per our own, processing abilities, Tina Rubber has so far supplied 2.3 million tons of modified bitumen since we have been doing business. And we calculate that to have saved 800,000 tons of carbon emissions. This is really, really noteworthy. We are very proud of our contribution in our own small way to help with, pressing emergencies like climate change, etc. I think it's time that I'll pass on to Subodh now, who can take you through our financial numbers for Q1. Over to you, Subodh.
Thank you, Gauravji, and good afternoon, everyone. Let me first brief you on the fourth quarter financial performance first and then the full year. The revenue from operational or the fourth quarter were rupees 82 crores, which grew by 70% year-on-year basis. EBITDA was reported at rupees 11 crores, growing approximately by 31% year-on-year basis, and the EBITDA margin stood at 13.89%. Net profit after tax reported was rupees 6 crores, which grew 65% year-on-year basis, and the PAT margin was 7.43%. On the operational front, starting with the road sector, seasonal demand, when I say seasonal demand, so with our experience and, monsoon season is normally the weak months for the road sector business. So March, April, May, June, and up to mid-July, the road construction across the nation is at its peak. And then it slowed down during the monsoon season. So seasonal demand has contributed in rise in sales in Q1. Further, there remains a continuous push from Government of India for road infrastructure, development of major highways, expressway like upcoming Ganga Expressway, upcoming Delhi-Dehradun Expressway, upcoming Delhi-Amritsar-Katra Highway, and many more across the nation are driving the demand of modified bitumen. And we foresee good volume in the time to come. Post-monsoon season, we see there's a tremendous growth in this line, and we see a lot of uptake of modified bitumen in the coming months. And its adequate order book for 11 mobile blending plants for converting bitumen to crumb rubber modified bitumen at road contractor sites. So we have deployed 11 units as of now, and we have a decent order book to finish off over 50,000 tons of modified bitumen in this financial year. We also continue to trade in bitumen only on cash and carry model to complete our portfolio offering for some of our esteemed customers. On the non-road sector front, the continuously rising trend of crude and other polymer rubber chemicals is encouraging use of more and more recycled material. Now, since EPR policy is also notified, so we see that India Tire majors are now exploring higher dosage of sustainable raw material in their formulations. This will help them not only to achieve their sustainability goals, but will also help them on their costs. We are extremely excited about the implementation of the EPR, as we expect it will open new revenue systems for us. Export is another area where we see tremendous growth, and we are at cusp of starting new business with some of the leading multinational tire companies. Now, since COVID is almost subsided, the company is investing and participating in international tire conferences, international exhibitions. So that also will help us to create our presence in international markets. The company has also received various pending approvals from leading tire companies and multinational tire companies, which will result in better offtake in coming quarters. Lastly, the company has commercialized the fourth devulcanizer at their Gumadi Pundi Chennai factory, which not only will improve capacity utilization of crumb rubber plants, but will also add to the top line. With that, now we can open the floor to the question and answer. Over to you, Anuj.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Anyone who would like to ask a question, please press star and one at this time. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Agastya Dave from CAO Capital. Please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yes, Agastya. Hi. Gaurav here. We can hear you fine.
Hello, sir. How are you? Congratulations on great results, sir. Amazing performance. Sir, I had a few questions. One is, for the quarter, did we do a lot of trading in bitumen? Is that the reason for significantly higher quarter-on-quarter numbers, or is it completely the seasonal factors that you discussed in opening statement?
So, Agastya, primarily it was, just better demand from, both road, non-road, etc. The bitumen trading volume continues to be a small part of our business, and so what is our exact number for bitumen trading?
That is... We did around 18 crores.
So about 18 crores worth of bitumen trading.
Got it. That's the higher purchases that we can see in the COP, right?
Yes.
Great. So one thing that perplexes me is how you are managing your power cost, because it's pretty amazing. You are not seeing any hit to your P&L because of that. So what exactly has happened? Why are we not seeing a spike in the other expenses?
You are surprised to see less power costs?
Yes, because it's a power intensive business, your activity levels and utilization levels are continuously increasing quarter on quarter, and you have managed your power cost very well. I saw that in the schedules in the annual report as well. So is this something which is permanent in nature? Have you done anything at plant level which has reduced the consumption? Somehow the efficiencies is better. What exactly has happened, sir? And is it sustainable, the current power level, power cost level?
So it's a combination of things. Certainly we are in the process of doing some upgrades where we have found that we can squeeze better power efficiency. Those upgrades are happening as we speak. In fact, now they are probably 70-80% done. So that, you know, surely has contributed. But overall for us, you know, when we monitor our efficiency on a per metric ton basis, power consumption levels, etc., all of them are you know, fairly constant other than these improvements that I spoke to you about.
Right. Have you, sir, renegotiated with the power companies, the power supply agreements, the rates, have they gone down? Has that also contributed, or is it completely to do with your operating efficiency measures?
Our power sourcing is from the grid. There is no negotiation to be had with the grid. You know, the cost is what it is.
Okay. So then, great. Great achievement. Sir, a repetition of the question that I asked in the previous call. What about CapEx? Have you looked at the situation again, revisited the capital budgeting exercise? Is there any guidance that you can give on when will we undertake a substantial greenfield or brownfield expansion?
So, Agastya, we are analyzing. We continue to analyze. These are, you know, significant decisions. Unless something substantially improves our presence, you know, we are already a pan-India present company. Unless something substantially contributes logistically, only then we will consider. Saying that, we have a couple of very interesting opportunities we are looking at right now.
Right.
But I do not have anything concrete to tell you today on this call on the timing of it or the amount.
Got it. So final question from my side. You mentioned that all the whatever things that had to be done before you start supplying to the export markets, all the certifications and verifications have been done. So can you discuss the exact timelines when we will see contribution from exports, and also the tire OEMs, the new clients that you are going to add, when will we see a substantial contributions from these two sources, exports and the new tire OEMs?
So on the export side, what I can tell you today is that, you know, in terms of qualifications, we are very much in place. All those accreditations, etc., we have in place. However, each, you know, large international customer have their own very unique to them even set of approvals at plant level. And that we are engaging at different degrees, at different levels. You know, in some cases, it is very mature and we hope we'll translate into business. We'll start seeing it from Q2. And in some cases, it could easily spill over to Q3, even Q4. So it's an ongoing process, which is 3 to 5 years, you know, when we talk to international tire companies primarily. We've seen that typically the conveyor belting businesses are a little bit easier to crack, relatively speaking. And we've had some success there. And recently we were in South America at a trade show, which actually happened after 2 years. We got excellent response. So I think the benefits of that also will start becoming visible probably from Q3.
This is just the start also.
Agastya, this is Subodh here.
Right.
On the export front, if you see, you know, Q1 last FY and Q1 this year, so our export volume is almost double. You know, it's growing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sir, just a clarification on the reply that you have given. Q2 and Q3, will we start the start of supplies, or these will already show substantial contribution from new clients and new geographies?
Again, you know, it's very difficult to answer that question without going customer-wise.
Some will just start, some will reach some level of maturity, which started maybe in Q4 of last year. So, you know, it's at different degrees, but the number Subodh mentioned is very relevant that we've doubled.
Almost doubled Q1 last FY versus this FY. Yes, volume-wise.
Yeah, volume-wise, if we compare year-on-year basis, we have doubled our exports as of today.
Great, sir. Congratulations again. Thank you very much for answering the questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Keshav Kumar from Raksan Investors. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good afternoon, sir. Congrats for another good quarter. So if I annualize the non-road number, it's quite lower compared to what we did last year. So what's the reason? Do we expect better non-road contributions from subsequent quarters and for the full year?
Sorry, can you repeat? You're talking of the non-road number?
Yeah. So we did around 28 crores of business, right? So last year we had 150 crore of our consolidated revenues coming from non-road. And if I annualize this 28, it's quite lower compared to what we did in FY22. So is there some lumpiness? Do we expect better contributions in coming quarters?
Yeah, so if you see our road sector number, the Q1 is 28 crores, whereas 21-22 the whole year it was 87.
So there's probably some confusion then, because your annual report road sector contribution for FY22 is 87 crore and non-road comes to 149. But in your presentation, it's the other way. So we have higher revenues coming from road. If I take the FY22 number,
non-road. You know, if you see like, you know, the Q1 23, the total is 82 crore and bifurcation is 54 crore is the non-road, 28 is the road.
Okay. So the seasonal impact, what you were talking about, for the monsoon impact has already happened and we expect better revenues going forward?
So the monsoon impact largely, Keshav, will come in the months of, you know, July and to some extent in August. So that tends to impact sales on the road sector side, but not on the non-road side. And that is, we believe, the uniqueness of our business, that, you know, we've got revenue streams on both sides. But yes, in Q2, it is quite normal for us to expect some slowdown in sales for the road sector.
Okay, sir. So can you help understand in the non-road part, how we've been able to perform so well this quarter? I mean, some levels if you can highlight.
Multiple reasons. Again, like, one was exports. We doubled our exports compared to a year-on-year basis. And largely the exports are from the non-road sector.
Yes, all from non-road.
All from non-road. And even, you know, our we've gone up the value chain in the non-road sector by graduating from 80 mesh to 120 mesh and 140 mesh, which is higher value product, etc., also giving us slightly better margins. So those are the things which have helped us, you know, continue to keep fairly strong revenue on the non-road side.
Sure. So, sir, do we expect that our margins in the non-road vertical should also inch up, not in the very near term, maybe in 2024?
I believe so. I strongly believe so. And I say this also because that overall inclusion rate of some of the products that we have now developed, when I say inclusion rates, I mean, let's say a tire company today uses 5 parts of recycled material. As we make higher quality recycled materials, instead of 5 parts, they can probably go to 8 parts or 12 parts. You know, a lot of that that R&D work is going on. And once that kicks in as well, that will positively contribute both in the revenue side as well as the bottom line.
Great, sir. So another one, sir. If I see the related party transactions for the last year, we had sale of goods worth about 9 crores to Tena Trade. So could you help me understand what we are selling there, because they seem to be in a totally different business?
So, you know, a couple of years ago, Tena Trade became quite active in marketing of steel abrasives. They built a team to market abrasives. They also import abrasives. And the product that we make is one of the products to add to their portfolio in selling to the foundry and steel industry. So we don't consider that in Tena Rubber as our core. So we essentially make that product and give it to them to complete their portfolio, and all those people who sell that product is part of their, is on their payroll.
Sure. So, lastly, if I may squeeze in one more. Sir, in the annual report, there were certain delays in repayment of loans. So wasn't a one-off. I saw 15 to 16 instances in the past 1 year. And the last delay was in November. So I just wanted to understand the reason and if we can expect more timely payments going forward.
So we are actually completely on time with all our repayment of loans, etc., with banks. We have not had any delay even in last year. The delay you are referring to is the delay we had with our NBFC, and that was because we were in the midst of transition from Indiabulls. And that loan got taken over in January this year by State Bank of India. So only because of that transition and change, there was some delay. But that is now concluded. In fact, we do not have any loans outstanding from the NBFC, which is Indiabulls. And that loan in totality was taken over by State Bank of India, saving almost 400 bips to the company.
Okay, great. Sir, I have more questions, but I'll come back to the queue.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vignesh Iyer from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. I'm actually new to the call, so I just want to know a few basic information about the company. If you could help me understand what is the capacity, of our production capacity as in for the crumb numbers. And what is the utilization level at least?
So our ability is to process approximately 75 to 80,000 tons of tires annually, all the plants put together. And this year, we believe we will be close to
somewhere around
60-65,000 tons of tire processing capacity.
As in, you mean to say for FY22, you manage around 63,000, right?
So I'm talking FY23.
Okay.
I gave you detail of capacity and our projected tire processing.
Okay, and how much was it in FY22?
FY22, we were a shade below 50, I believe.
Around 50,000 tons.
Okay. Fine. And sir, could you help me understand, as in being a very energy intensive business, the financial statement doesn't reflect power and fuel costs separately. If you could just give me what were your expenses out of that other expenses of 13.6 crore, how much was the power expenses compared to the earlier quarter, that is quarter 4 FY22. So if you could give me
See, our power and labor cost together constitutes about 16 to 17% of our cost. But my recommendation is, for the sake of brevity and to keep this call moving, if you can email us what specifically you want, we can then consider sending you a reply.
Fair enough. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dipesh Sancheti from Manya Finance. Please go ahead.
Hi. Am I audible?
Yes. We can hear you. Thanks.
Yeah. Firstly, congratulations on great set of numbers. My question is on the same lines. Is that the EBITDA margin has reduced from 17.97% to 13.89%, and even quarter on quarter from 15% to 13.9%. Is there any major reason? And looking ahead, what is the reasonable margin expectations we can work with?
Sure. Our growth in top line has been north of 50-60%, right? Our top line growth.
Year from 49 to now 82.
Yeah. So there has been some reduction in EBITDA margins because of new customer acquisitions and, new market developments. The second part of your question to answer, what is the EBITDA margin we can expect? We believe even in this financial year, we should be close to 16% is our expectation.
And what is the effect of crude oil prices and the margins or on our business?
For us, the impact on crude oil, etc., is, on the raw material front, it makes tires also attractive for, oil extraction, which is a highly polluting industry actually, but still, they are operating in many parts of India as well as even in some other countries. So to that extent, it makes raw material acquisition more expensive for us when mineral prices are high. But also at the same time, we see a much higher motivation amongst our customers to use more product. So that kind of, nullifies the impact overall. Also, the one favorable impact of high crude oil prices for us is that it has made bitumen very expensive. And for the road sector industry, now adding our additives, it actually brings the cost down marginally. So you not only make a better road, you also make a more economical road. So to that extent, higher crude oil prices kind of work out okay for us.
So what is the percentage of bitumen for a road man? Percentage of bitumen which is added and the rubber gram which is added, firstly that one, and secondly, what is the price difference also? Like suppose if there is the cost is about 100, what is the price of for bitumen will be 100 and for your road gram? Just to understand that how beneficial it is going to be for the road industry.
So basically, normally modified bitumen is 88 parts of bitumen and 12 parts of modifier. So both can answer you.
Yeah, around you can replace 12 to 14% of bitumen from the rubberized asphalt. And proportional is 86 to 88 is the bitumen and 12 to 14 is the rubber. Right. So that makes the end product cheaper by 2,000 rupees to 2,500 rupees.
2,500 rupees per
metric ton.
Per metric ton. Okay. This is the last question. Is what is the sales of our? What is the percentage of sales in for the road sector in this quarter?
For the road sector, 34%. Yeah.
Sorry.
34%.
Okay. And look, going forward, you expect this to cross 40?
Definitely. I mean, we had already some slowdown witnessed, because of monsoons kicking in towards the second half of June. Normally, this could easily be, you're right, about 40%, 40-45%.
40-45%, right? Thank you. Thank you so much. If there's any other question, I'll come in the line. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashish Rampuria, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Oh, thanks for taking my question and good numbers. I wanted to understand a bit from a revenue perspective, right? Sort of, we have a good order book this year. But how much of this sort of is a recurring revenue, and even from a growth perspective, sort of where do you expect growth to come from?
We are very confident, that we should be able to achieve quarterly revenues now fairly consistently of between 80 to 85 crores. That is a number that we are fairly confident on, even if there is some little setback of seasonality on the road sector. Hopefully non-road will make up for it and vice versa, depending on the months. So my expectation is to be between 80 to 85 crores per quarter this financial year as a fairly consistent number.
Got it, fair point. But I want to understand how much sort of this becomes recurring and sort of where will the growth come from going forward, right? Because, well, this is first year and sort of, I mean, this is this year and we have the order book. But going forward, where do you expect the growth to come from and to what extent?
I think I've answered your question. We have achieved 82 crores in Q1. 80 to 85 is what I expect in the remaining quarters of this financial year. Those kind of channels of sales are already established. That's where we got this in Q1. And I think I'm mentioning that is what we will continue to achieve.
No, got it. So just to reiterate, I wanted to understand from a longitudinal, so while this is this year, but if one wants to look at sort of a more longer horizon, what sort of growth does the organization expect? That is one, and where does it expect that to come from?
Sure. I appreciate the clarifying statement. We expect on the base that we are building a normalized, you know, growth of about 15% is a fair number to expect. But you know, we have at least 3 to 5 new interesting projects in the works. Now, these projects could be about going up the value chain. They could be about setting up a new plant. They could be about, backward integration, etc. So some of those things are in the works, and we hope that by the end of Q3, we will have at least 2 of such ideas crystallized and, you know, in the midst of execution. And that can deliver, you know, we hope and expect, you know, exceptional growth in FY24 and 25.
Got it. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dharia Visharia, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much. And congratulations on a great set of numbers. So I wanted to ask, like, can you talk about the EPR policy which is notified by the government, and like, what is the management's view on this policy? Like, how will it change the environment for the companies affected, and also your growth opportunities, if you can talk about?
Sure. So Anurup, my colleague here, will put some more light on this.
Yeah, hi. So we have this EPR policy which has been notified to the government. We see, you know, a positive impact on our company and similar, you know, recycling companies in the sector. On one side, we'll have, you know, larger amount of raw material being available for recycling companies, which, you know, as of now are channeled through illegal routes of pyrolysis, etc., because all the tire manufacturing companies will have a mandate for, you know, ensuring X percentage of material getting recycled through a, you know, legitimate route. So we'll have larger amount of tires being available, for which, you know, we are right now dependent upon imports. And on the other side, you know, we'll have all the tire manufacturing companies being motivated using more sustainable raw materials. So you'll have more, you know, larger market available domestically for sale of recycled and, you know, highly specialized material, which we and or the other recycling companies are making. So it's going to have a very positive impact, and we really look forward to it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, thanks a lot for your answers. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Keshav Kumar from Vaxxon Investors. Please go ahead.
So can you give some more granularity on the non-road vertical? Like, how much of it would be higher value-add products like tire, conveyors, or transmission belts? So why I ask this is because on one hand, the non-road contribution has substantially gone up. But the gross margins are the weakest in quite a while. So how should we see that?
So what was the first part of your question, Keshav? Can you repeat?
If you can give some granular details on the non-road vertical. How much of it would be higher value-add products like tires and theirs versus the others?
So on that, 50% of our non-road revenue comes from the tire businesses, and then of course we can revalidate this, but you know, more or less 50% of it comes from the business we do with our companies, and the remaining 50% comes from everybody else.
But in terms of high-performance products, I would say 60-65% of the sales.
So Reclaim and micronized rubber powder we will consider as a high-value product. So we are doing close to around 2,000 tons of this business, so around 45.
So should we not have expected better gross margins this quarter because the contribution, why we had a phenomenal contribution coming from non-road? So how should we see the gross margin linkage? Because it's probably the weakest we've seen over the last few quarters.
Like I explained, you know, it could be some of the impact is because of new customer acquisition and things like that. But these will normalize, and we expect on at a EBITDA level to operate at around 16% going forward.
Okay. Okay. So, big chunk of our non-road revenues already comes from the road sector, as you've mentioned. So, is there a positive optionality because the timelines are pretty long? And you would say back in December that we have the arrangements in place. So, should we see that going further up in another year or two?
Are you asking me about the growth of revenues from the road sector?
Tires as a percentage of non-road.
For sure, because you know, tire industry, firstly at a very macro level, 70% of the world's virgin polymers are used for making tires, and 30% is everything else. Okay.
Right.
So tires will continue to be a very major part. Tire industry will be a very major part of our customer base. And in my view, you know, while we have been very successful with all the Indian tire majors, and all of them at different degrees are now working with us. Some very, very, some with very high volume, some with, you know, relatively speaking, smaller volumes. But the international tire majors, we have only just beginning to get as our customers, and that the headroom is tremendous.
So, sir, on that side, we already have the validations in place, or we just started developing the business with them?
In process. COVID slowed us down because research work, as you know, you cannot do research sitting at home. You need to be in the labs, in the factories, to do product validations and things like that. So we had a setback because of COVID, and now things are normalizing and it's picking up pace. So depending on customers and you know, obviously for confidentiality reasons, I cannot go into detail where we are, with whom, and at what stage. But we expect at least two major breakthroughs within FY23.
Okay, great, sir. So another thing. So now the EPR policy will help us on the raw material side and also on the supply chain. So do we expect the percentage of what is blended tires to go up? So basically, the number of clients, we've already mentioned that we have fairly made inroads in the domestic industry. But the percentage of what the crumb rubber that goes into the tires, that can be a positive plus for us, right?
Definitely. I think we mentioned that there is a lot of motivation now amongst tire companies, both for sustainability reasons and economic reasons, that they are all exploring higher dosages of recycled materials.
Okay, so is there a rough ballpark figure of what percentage would they typically do right now and what it can go up to?
It's very tough to say. Again, it's very specific to the type of tires. In off-road tires and solid tires already, it could be as high as 30 parts or 25 parts. But in radial tires, the inclusion is very less. It's like 3-4% today. So in each of these applications, I know the R&D of tire companies is they are working aggressively to see how to increase inclusion of recycled material.
Okay, all right. Great, sir. Thanks a lot, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Sachin Shetty, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Good evening for a good setup number. Hello.
Yes, Sachin.
Yeah. Sir, my question specifically for the revenue. So we grew almost 70% year on year. But our EBITDA margin and net profit, still we are seeing the same, it is 7%. So what differently we can do to improve this EBITDA and net profit margin? Can you please explain?
So, Sachin, firstly, I think, you know, to grow revenues at 70-80% and keep margins consistent is an achievement in itself. I think you will agree that. But, you know, in terms of further improving these margins, we are constantly working. And like I said, you know, some element of acquiring new customers and new business development tends to, you know, cost some money. But now that we have acquired these customers, we hope to get our margins back to about 16% EBITDA level.
Okay, okay, great. And sir, in initial comments, I heard that our capacity is something around 65,000 metric ton, and our total installed capacity is 75,000. So almost we are running 80-90% peak capacity utilization, right, sir?
Correct.
So has there any expansion plan or capex plans to going forward since we are acquiring many customers?
We had answered a little bit earlier that we are looking at five new projects, and you know, some of them one of them is about setting up a new plant. We are scouting and analyzing a location as we speak, you know, it's too initial at this stage for me to announce anything.
Okay, 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 sir. Thank you. Yeah, that's about it.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dipesh Sancheti from Manya Finance. Please go ahead. Dipesh Sancheti, your line has been unmuted. Please go ahead with your question.
Yeah. Hello.
Yes, we can hear you now.
Okay, you're audible.
Dipesh, we lost you again. We cannot hear you now. Please confirm. Dipesh Sancheti, please unmute yourself and confirm. Due to no response, we'll move to the next question, which is from the line of Shikha Kapoor, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, Shikha, please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, Gaurav. I just wanted to know about TP Buildtech part. You know, it's very commendable that how you've turned around the company in the last couple of quarters. So if you can just throw some color on what is the current investment on that associate and what is the guidance that you can share for the next couple of years, like broader outlook.
Sure. Thank you for this question. TP Buildtech is you know, we consider it very strategic in the space that it operates. It is in concrete admixtures, and the larger opportunity there is to build a full-fledged construction materials company. We are also very pleased how TP Buildtech has turned the corner, and you know, its sales are growing and it's acquiring some really fantastic customers. We recently have started supplying our product to Fuji Silvertech, which has a contract for the bullet train project. We are supplying our product to the Reliance Jamnagar refinery for its expansion. So we have some real, you know, marquee projects now to which TP Buildtech is catering. It further just reaffirms the high-quality product that we have in our portfolio. So we are looking at various things. We are looking at expanding our product portfolio. We are looking at possibly a third location now for TP Buildtech, because two are up and running, one in west and one in north. So we are now looking at a third location option. And I think, you know, with the thrust of government on infrastructure spending, I think for the next two decades, at least, I see TP Buildtech to be in high growth just at the back of these opportunities.
Sure. Was there any change in the product mix of late, or are we planning something like that?
We are planning to add two new products this year. We haven't done it yet, but that is in the works. At the moment, we are a mono-product business making only concrete admixtures, but we are adding a couple of new products to our portfolio, and I think that should be achieved by end of Q2.
Sure. Thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Ritesh Sancheti from Manya Finance. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sorry about the previous. I think there was some connectivity off.
No problem. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sorry.
Sorry, Dr. Mrs. Sancheti, your voice is breaking up.
Audible now?
Your audible, sir, but your voice is breaking, so it's not very... If you can move to a better reception area, maybe you can hear better.
Is this okay now?
Can
you hear me?
At the moment it is. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Wanted to know what is the nature of business with tire companies. Are they our customers also and they are our suppliers also? Or do we take tires from the local market? How is it?
Sorry, your good name, please.
Dipesh Sancheti.
Yeah, Mr. Sancheti, so the business is like, you know, with the EPR coming, now it's being notified. It's notified already. So that model also will come into the picture. Like, you know, we shall be buying the tire directly from the tire company. You know, their field rejects. They are, you know, as per EPR policy, they are bound to collect some of, you know, year basis, some of the percentage of old tires. So that will strengthen our supply chain system. But right now we are buying it from open market. We are importing also. And then we are converting it into the value-added product what we are supplying to the tire company as one of their key raw material now.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone who would like to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Keshav Kumar from Raksan Investors. Please go ahead.
Hi. Sir, lastly, what would be the import versus domestic ELT split?
Yeah, hi, Keshav. currently, it could be somewhere around 85 to 15%. Or rather more skewed towards import, yeah.
Okay, and the prices over there?
So there always remains a delta of roughly 5 to 6 rupees. Or it keeps on changing depending on the, you know, the port pairs. So, yeah.
So compared to last quarter, has there been any substantial movement or it's fairly flat?
There are prices increasing from the ocean freight side, so it keeps on changing. But we see the, you know, ocean freight getting little more settled in time to come. We see better costing for imports in time to come.
Okay, all right. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. You may press star one to ask a question. Anyone who would like to ask a question, you may press star and one. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Members of the management, you may proceed with your closing comments.
So I would like to thank everyone who's participated on the call today. We greatly appreciate the interest in our company. And I hope that we were able to answer your questions satisfactorily and offer some insights into our business. Of course, if you have any further questions or would like to know more, you may reach out to our investor relations managers, Valorem Advisors. And with that note, I wish everyone
very good afternoon and lovely day ahead. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of TP Rubber and Infrastructure Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.